Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, offering Irish businesses practical knowledge and support to become more sustainable. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, in the Green Scene today, it's Veganuary, when we're encouraged to eat plant-based foods for the month. But first, the evolution of running. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the evolution of running, and we go back to the discovery of Lucy. Who was Lucy?
We go back, yeah, about 3 million years. And Lucy was probably one of our most famous ancestors because she was discovered about 50 years ago as a fossil in Ethiopia. And the reason why people were so excited when they found Lucy was, one, she was about 40% complete in terms of her skeleton, which was incredible, but also because really she was the first walking ape that the archaeologists had discovered. So she was really the link that we needed to find between kind of apes like chimpanzees or other...
So she was able to walk upright.
She was able to walk upright. And so she was sort of seen as this link, the first sort of really human-like species.
She still had the ability to climb, it would it be?
She could still climb. So she wasn't a human, but she certainly wasn't an ape like we might have thought about.
Why was she called Lucy?
She was called Lucy because the archaeologists were listening to the Beatles as they did their dig, and Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds was playing. So they called her Lucy. And Lucy gave us huge amounts of insights into our past. Now, obviously, our genus, the genus Homo, we're Homo sapiens, came after that, maybe about 500,000 years later. But we're still very interested in what makes us different from Lucy, who was, you know, one of our ancestors
okay,
many
now
years
we want
ago.
To talk about running. Was Lucy able to run?
So Lucy was able to run. And we always thought that one of our adaptations was that we could run better than Lucy. And we've always sort of hypothesized that our skeletal shape made us better at running. But this is new research that just came out from the University of Liverpool. And they were able to use Lucy's skeleton and they were able to make models of her skeleton in silico, in computers. And they were able to model lots of different muscle configurations around her skeleton.
The muscles don't survive in the fossilized state.
Muscles don't survive. Muscles and tendons, soft tissue is gone. So they did lots of different simulations using advanced AI and computer technology to compare how fast Lucy could have run with how fast we could run. And it turns out we are much better at running. Lucy could have run maybe at maximum speed of around 18 kilometres per hour, whereas a fast human can run 38 kilometres per hour.
Wow. And it's more than twice.
More than twice the distance. And also when you look at the efficiency of how we run, we have this very well developed Achilles tendon. And that tendon actually stores energy and gives us that momentum to run. And Lucy and her kind didn't have that. And this really supports a hypothesis that's been around for a long time called the endurance running hypothesis. And the idea was that when modern humans emerged on the plains of Africa, they were able to chase down their prey. So they could run for hours and hours and hours in groups and actually wear out prey animals. So, you know, maybe herds of antelopes
literally
or bison.
Literally exhaust them.
And again, sometimes we don't think of ourselves as maybe that well equipped to run. But in fact, we have evolved to run and to run long distances and have that endurance.
And the principal change in the physiology is the development of the Achilles tendon.
Exactly. So this tendon, this well-developed tendon, alongside our skeletal shape, obviously we have longer legs than Lucy would have had as well, and our torso is smaller. She would have had a big barrel-like torso. But these adaptations, you know, because I suppose we often think actually of the key adaptations in humans being brain size and tool use, and they were other important adaptations. But this new research really supports this theory that being able to run was a really important part of being a human.
So I have this vision of a horde of early humans chasing down their prey, therefore eating meat. So for those who pursue Vegan January or Veganuary, it's in your DNA to be a meat eater, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, for those who choose to become vegan, January is often the month when they kick it off. And as you say, Veganuary, it came about around 12 years ago. It was an idea that came followed on from Movember. So you could argue it's a bit of a marketing thing for companies and organisations that are putting out new vegan products all the time. But again, it did prompt researchers and psychologists to look at the impact of giving up meat in January. And they did a number of studies with people, which were described in the conversation this week. And what they found was that people's attitude to eating meat changed very quickly if they decided to give it up for January. And in fact, a large portion of them started to find it disgusting. And disgust is a very, very strong human emotion. And we already know that quite a lot of vegetarians find meat completely disgusting. And in fact, when you use psychological scales to sort of measure disgust, the level of disgust that some vegetarians associate with eating meat is the same level of disgust that a meat eater would associate with being asked to eat feces. So it's a really high level of disgust. And I think what was interesting about this study was how quickly people develop those negative feelings about meat. And one of the reasons why this is so interesting from a scientific point of view is that if you can associate disgust with something, it can happen quite quickly and it can help you to reinforce behaviours if you want to. So, for example, if you're trying to, you know, eat healthier food, perhaps you could associate disgust with highly processed foods in your brain.
You have a quotation from an eminent cardiologist who said, there are two kinds of cardiologists, vegans and those who haven't read the data.
Yeah, and this is a cardiologist. He was the president of the American Association of Cardiology, and he is outspoken on this issue. And I'm not going to give health advice, but certainly it is well established that plant-based diets have a lot of health benefits, as long as you're not falling into the trap of eating a lot of highly processed food.
The reason you might demur about this is that one of the reasons our brains grew, it would appear, is that we managed to learn how to catch prey and cook meat and gave us a lot of protein for relatively little effort, whereas trying to get all of that from seeds and berries, much harder work.
Of course, our ancestors, though probably old age, would have been about 35, Pat, so they were facing into different set of lifestyle choices than we were, where many of us are not running to chase down our food. So I think it's hard to compare. It's not like with like. But I think, look, this is interesting for two reasons. One, it inspires us, if we want to change our behaviour, this idea of using our brains to think about things differently can really help. And you know what? 80 billion animals die every year for us all to eat meat. So we might want to think about reducing that number. And it has a huge environmental impact. So eating less meat is one of the best ways as an individual you can create a positive impact for the environment and the planet.
All right. And 4% of the UK population are vegan.
Do Veganuary. But in Ireland, we don't have the stats, but we know that the number of vegans has gone up by 4 in the last decade. So it's definitely a trend.
Very good. Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Thank you very much for joining us.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, offering Irish businesses practical knowledge and support to become more sustainable. AIB, for the life you're after.